Well, good evening, church. And good evening to you, God. So, Ash Wednesday is the time when we pay particular attention to the importance and the significance of the gift of grace that God has given us through the power of God and his willingness to live into what God called him to do. I have always believed that Jesus had a choice, and he chose us over himself. He went to the cross for us, not for himself. And he was able to do this for us because he trusted and loved his heavenly Father, and it was what his Father asked him to do. He did it out of obedience and love. So how often do I choose to do something for God or someone else rather than for myself or ourselves? I don't find that an easy question to answer. It happens way more than I'd like to believe that it does. And I know that much of what I do is focused on exactly that, what I have to do, opposed to what God would have me do. Grace. Grace is defined as undeserved favor, and we are the recipients of that undeserved favor. Grace cannot be earned. It cannot be taken away from us. It is an unconditional gift from God. It is through and by grace that we can understand what we're doing on Ash Wednesday. We're not simply smudging the sign of the cross on our foreheads, but we are proclaiming the good news that in spite of our finitude, in spite of our fear of death, in spite of our sinfulness, in spite of our disobedience, that when we accept Christ as our Savior, we claim that we can overcome all obstacles of sin through accepting the gift of God's grace. So what's so amazing about grace? Grace is amazing because it can bring new light and new life to anything and anyone that God created. God did not create our world just to throw it away. And God did not create us, any of us, just to throw us away. When I went to my brother's funeral this summer, one of their neighbors came in, and the gentleman, they were Jewish, and the gentleman said to me, "So what is grace?" I was like, yikes. 5 minutes or less, you want to know in your easy chair, what is grace? So we had a nice discussion, and he got it. And he furrowed his brow, and he just nodded, and then that was the end of our discussion. One of the most famous or well-known hymns that we'll sing tonight is Amazing Grace. And I think the story of this hymn, one of the things that we'll continue to do through Lent, is to look at the hymns and songs that we sing and understand where they came from and why they are important. I think this story of this hymn can give us some insight into the question, what is so amazing about grace? The hymn is based on 1 Chronicles 17:16. I'll leave that for you to look up. The actual tune of Amazing Grace is an early American folk melody and was first known as a plantation melody entitled Loving Lambs. The earliest known publication of this tune was found in a book entitled The Virginia Harmony, compiled by James Carroll and David Clayton and published in 1831 in Winchester, Virginia. I never realized the close ties with Virginia as I studied or sing this hymn. So, the author of the words, John Newton, was a shipmaster. His mother died young, and his father later remarried. And after that happened, he went to sea with his father, and he continued as a seaman. And what he did was to transport slaves from the West African coast over to the new land. He did not feel that capturing and transporting black slaves to plantations was a good thing. He found it cruel and a vicious way of life. And while returning to England from Africa during a particularly stormy voyage where he thought all would be lost, he began to think differently about his life, and he had an encounter with God. He continued to be a slave ship captain, but he tried to justify his work over and over again by seeking to improve conditions for his passengers and his crew as much as possible. He held weekly or daily worship, public worship service for them on the boat. He still felt convicted of the inhumane aspects of this work and became a strong and effective crusader against slavery. After he married his sweetheart, he worked as a clerk at the Port of Liverpool for 9 years. And he began to study. He began to study for the ministry. He was aided by influence of many theologians, especially the Wesleys. But he came to the conclusion when he was ready to be ordained that he would stick with the Anglican Church because he didn't want to join in with those dissenters. Those Methodists, you know. So at the age of 39, he was ordained to the Anglican Church. This man took to heart the message. It really doesn't, it's not particularly important, although it is important, what the message was, what the circumstances were that brought him to the place to be an ordained man of God, preaching and teaching the word. Sometimes I feel like that I don't have enough, that I don't know enough, that my experiences aren't enough. But following the story of this hymn, I realize that whatever God gives us is enough. God gives us what we need to do what it is that he calls us to do. And when we say that, God, I don't get it. Where are you? You didn't tell me anything to do. We limit God in our non-attention to what it is that God is saying to us. God speaks, but do we listen? Amazing grace. Think about that. Grace is something that we talk about all the time, but how often do we really consider that it's amazing? So that's what I invite you to do tonight, is to think about the amazingness of grace, to think about the words that we're going to read in a few minutes, that I'm going to read in a few minutes, that invite you to participate in a Holy Lent. And there's some items in there that I think will be items for study, items for consideration. I don't have to tell you what they are because when I read them, you'll know. Amazing Grace. It's a lovely hymn. I got to tell you the truth. I've told my children that if they play that at my funeral, I will come back to haunt them. I know a lot of people love it, but I find it to be other than. I shouldn't have said that, should I? I repent. It's Lent. I also believe that when we read the Isaiah reading tonight, we could have just stopped. That reading could have been the sermon. The promises that we hear in Isaiah and the commands that we hear in Isaiah and the things that we are called to do fit right in with the idea of amazing grace and the idea of who we are and whose we are. So I invite you to remain seated. Dear people of God, the first Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection, and it became the custom of the church to prepare for them by a season of penitence and fasting. The season of Lent provided a time in which converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when those who, because of notorious sins, had been separated from the body of the faithful were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored to the fellowship of the church. Thereby, the whole congregation was put in mind of the message of pardon and absolution set forth in the gospel of our Savior, and of the need which all Christians continually have to renew their repentance and faith. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the church, to the observance of a holy Lent by self-examination, repentance, prayer, fasting, self-denial, and reading and meditating on God's holy word. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be a sign of our mortality and our penitence, that we may remember that it is only by your gracious gift that we are given everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. I invite you to come forward for imposition of ashes as you feel led. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return.